Well, I want to again thank our young people for ministering. I've got a message today mainly for the adults, because hopefully you haven't lost the mental health that some of us hope to regain. And what I want to talk on today is, if you will, five steps to better mental health. All right, that's our title for the message today. Just a word, you know, the gospel, of course, continues along that theme of getting ready. Speaks about the winnowing fork in the Lord's hand, and the how, I don't know if you know how threshing was done, but there'd be these fans, and you'd throw the grain up into the air, and the fan, the winnowing fan, would be sending a little breeze across, and the chaff or the leaves of the grain would, because it was lighter, would blow, and the grain would fall. And that's how you separated the grain from the chaff. And so the image of the winnowing fan is what John uses today. That you gotta understand that the Lord is coming with mercy, but there will also come a day where there will be judgment. And so for now, mercy. This is to get us ready, because there will come a day when the wheat and the chaff are separated, and the wheat will be burned or brought into the barn, and the wheat or the chaff will be burned in unquenchable fire. So. That's the Advent theme, getting ready for the great and second coming of the Lord and asking the Lord to get us ready. But what I'd like to preach out of today is the second reading, which is the image of Gaudete, meaning rejoice. This word Gaudete comes from the very opening word of the reading, second reading today. And it means, in the plural, y'all, all y'all, rejoice. All y'all, rejoice. Now, every now and again, you might hear, you come to a church like this on a Sunday morning, and you hear, rejoice, and okay, you know, and you don't really feel like it. Or maybe you're really going through something serious, you know. Maybe you're struggling with some real sorrow in your life right now, and it almost feels cruel, you know, to be told to rejoice. The reading today also says, don't be anxious.
Yeah, right.
You know, in fact, don't you hate that when people do that to you? You know, they say, don't worry. All right. So listen, brothers and sisters, I want to assure you today that this command to rejoice and this mandate not to be anxious or worry are not just slogans. The Lord isn't just telling us to do that, but he's showing us how. He's showing us how in these readings. So I want to look at this letter to the Philippians, where we're reading from, and I want to ask you to just ponder with me five steps to better mental health. Now, mental health, why do I put it that way? Because, brothers and sisters, ultimately, the real battleground is our mind. It's really, that's where Satan is sending his message, and that's where the Lord is also sending his message, and it's in our mind. And you know, sometimes when it comes to feelings, we just think, well, where do feelings come from? You know, I don't know, they just happen. Well, no, they actually don't just happen. Feelings come from our thoughts, most of them. I would say 90% of the feelings that we experience are generated by our thoughts. We think a certain thing, we draw a conclusion, and based on that, we have a feeling. Now, it's also true that although you can't just make your feelings just go away, I'm not simply a victim of our feelings. Feelings just happen, and there's nothing I can do about it. Now, there actually is, maybe not right there in the moment, but if you and I will draw back and let the Lord go to work in our life with these five steps, we will start to see that we see anxiety being reduced, sorrow being reduced and being replaced by joy, anxiety being replaced by trust, and a certain stability that comes into our life where we don't have so many buttons that people can push anymore, huh? I don't know, Father, it just gets me mad. No, they really push my buttons. I said, okay, well, maybe get rid of some of those buttons, you know? Wear a pullover sweater more often or something. All right. Now, at the end of the day, then, we do see that this call to rejoice and not be anxious may not seem something that we can just snap our fingers. It's not like a switch that we can just push. But rather, if we let the Lord go to work in that battleground of our mind, we start to see joy, serenity and stable peace begin to set up. So let's look at them. The first step, rejoice in the presence of the Lord. This is step one, if you will, to greater mental health. Rejoice, the text says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your moderateness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Now, that last little phrase, the Lord is near, is really the keynote. The Lord is near. The Lord is present. Again, step one, rejoice in the presence of the Lord. One of the great gifts that we have got to ask from the Lord is the gift to be living what I call the normal Christian life. And what is the normal Christian life? The normal Christian life is to be in living, conscious contact with God all throughout your day. To be in a life-changing, transformative relationship with the Lord. Again, living, conscious contact with God throughout your day. That's the normal Christian life. Now, if you're not living that life, I'm sorry, you're running a temperature. All right? It's the normal, this is the life that the Lord died to give us. So that all throughout our day, throughout our week, we're very powerfully aware of the presence of the Lord in our life, in our day, in the events of our days, in creation, in the people that we're meeting and interacting with. The Lord is near, the text says. Oh, he says, therefore rejoice, rejoice. Now, again, this is something that we have to allow the Lord to work in our life. We have to cultivate it. We have to ask for it and let the Lord begin to do this work. You know, it's a sad thing that many people will often go for days without ever thinking of God. Instead of looking up and beholding the glory of God, and they're kind of all bent over and looking at their shoelaces, or all bent over and anxious about problems and events and what's going on in this world, and they seldom look up and see God. Now, that is not the normal Christian life. The Lord wants us to come to this living, conscious contact with Him all throughout our day, all throughout our day. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. So this is, again, something to ask for from God and something that grows in our life. It's not just flip a switch and he's there. It's rather, though, it's a deepening awareness that comes from cultivating this gift that God wants to give us in our daily prayer, in our meditation on Scripture, all these different ways that the Lord wants to help grow this great gift. Now, notice, too, the text doesn't, it says here, rejoice in the Lord always. Why? Because the Lord is near. And then he says, let your moderateness be known to all. Let your moderateness. So let's look at the meaning of a couple Greek words here in this text. First of all, the word rejoice. It doesn't just mean chortle because you heard a joke. You know, a kind of a surfacey, emotional, zippy-doo kind of joy. You know, you just heard a funny joke and ha 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 ha. That's not going to last long, right? That's not what's being said here. The Greek word here, kairou, is a stable, serene, confident joy. That's what we're being summoned to, see? It's a stable disposition that the Lord can give us as the sense of his presence in our life grows. So again, to come to a stable, serene, confident joy is the summons today for us. And again, how? First of all, by practicing the presence of the Lord. It also says, let your moderateness be known. The Greek word here, epikaia, refers again to being moderate. It means to being fair, reasonable, forbearing. Again, it bespeaks a kind of a stable disposition to a person who's not easily carried off into anger, but neither are they just, who cares? Who really cares, you know? One way to kind of get through life and not be too vexed is just to not to care about anything. Who cares, you know? That's not what the Lord's calling us to. But this moderate place where we see that there are real issues in our world. And there's something to be serious and sober about. But to have that moderateness that says, I'm joyful in the Lord. I'm joyful in his vision. But I'm also, I have a deep love and concern for what's happening in my life and the lives of people that I love. And therefore, to be in that sweet middle spot where we are serene, stably confident, and joyful, and able then to address the difficulties of our own life and the lives of others with that epikaya, that moderateness. You know, one of the dangers for me as a priest is I could just get angry about things and get up here and shake my fist at the and be angry and try to win an argument with you. And you know, that's not going to, being angry and inciting other people's anger isn't generally a very lasting solution, right? But to keep preaching day in and day out, consistently, persistently, but also with serenity and confidence in God's word and the fact that it will have its effects if we just stay in a long conversation with people. There comes from that a serenity and a moderateness. And if it's true for me as a preacher, for parents, grandparents, friends, all the folks you're trying to reach with this message, just getting angry and trying to win an argument with them and get a better Bible quote than they've got and win is not what we're being called to, but rather a moderateness that keeps preaching, keeps in that long conversation. You know, I've been with you about 8 years now as pastor, and it's been a long conversation. I hope it'll go on for a while. But I didn't preach everything in the first sermon, though I'm sure I tried. But to know that even if people struggle at first to understand that over the years, if you've been faithful to hearing God's word, coming to church Sunday after Sunday, some of this stuff starts to soak in and make a difference to you. Not just my preaching, but the choir and how they sing and the lectures and how they proclaim the very word of God itself. It starts to become part of you. Now, that's where this idea of moderation comes in, to realize that I don't have to win the day today. Sometimes you live to fight another day, and you stay in a long conversation with people. Are you praying with me? So, we're summoned today, first of all, how do we get better mental health? First of all, we are to rejoice in the presence of the Lord. And to the degree that we cultivate that presence of the Lord in our life, we begin to acquire a serene, stable, and confident joy that then moderates our anger and our fear and our anxiety, that makes us want to lash out and just get angry and frustrated. Are you praying with me? Stable, serene, confident joy is the gift that comes from rejoicing in the presence of the Lord. Now, the second instruction, or the second step to better mental health, is not only to rejoice in the presence of the Lord, but to rely on the power of the Lord. The text says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, present your request to God." Now, again, this first point serves as the kind of the basis for this second point, which is that to the degree that the Lord is present in your day, you can call out to him for everything. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer, the old song says, right? What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Now, here too, it's not just a question of saying, you know, okay, give me this, Lord, Shazam, and you got it right there, you know? But we, in this walking with the Lord and this experiencing of his presence in our life, we start to see how God works. And we present our petitions to him, and we know that he will take care of them, but not always in the way we want it, when we want it, or the quantity that we want. But at the end of the day, God answers prayers faster than right now and sooner than immediately. I have come to experience in my walk with the Lord, and I hope you have too, that sometimes the Lord doesn't just give me whatever I ask for, when I want it, and the way I want it, and so on. But rather, sometimes he says no, or sometimes he gives it to me a little differently or later than I think I need it. But you know what I've come to find out? It's probably better that I didn't get some of the stuff I asked for, especially when I wanted it and in the way I wanted it, right? I mean, it's amazing. God is working his purposes out. And to the degree that you are in a relationship where God's presence is alive in your life, and you begin to come to that stable, serene, confident joy, and you become moderate, now you begin to see that you're also able to wait on the Lord and see how he answers prayers. Some people mistake the idea of trusting God as basically saying, don't worry, trust the Lord. He'll eventually come around to give you what you want and the way you want it. He'll eventually get onto your agenda. That's not trust. Trust in the Lord is, Lord, whatever you want, I'm okay with that. That's trust. I look back over my life, and maybe you do too. I never thought I'd be a priest when I was growing up. Never. In fact, if you got in your time machine and went back to talk to me when I was 15, you said, hey, man, you're a priest. I'm like, oh, running out, running away as fast as I can from you, right? You know? I mean, but the Lord works his ways. And, you know, coming out of seminary, I had some, you know, certain types of parish assignments that I thought would suit me. I didn't get a single one of them. I got something better right here, see? Amen? And I look back now when I presented God my little list, and please sign at the bottom, Lord, and don't forget to initial at each point. If I got that stuff, I wouldn't be the man I am today. Thank you, Lord, for not answering just the way I wanted. You did answer. You said, well, I got something for you. It's what you need, not just what you want. Amen? All right. So this idea of putting our prayers and our petitions before God isn't just a shazam, a magic, naming and claiming and calling and hauling kind of theology. That's not what this is about. This is about a man or a woman who, having done point one, cultivating a sense of the presence of the Lord in their life and coming to that serene, stable, confident joy, they begin to slow down to the speed of God a little bit. You know, God is more into crock pots than microwaves, right? For God, it's that long process of working things out for us as individuals and also for the whole world, you see. And God is more into crock pots than microwaves. We want quick answers, and you slow down a little. And that gives you better mental health. You slow down to the pace of God, who often leaves things unresolved for a while, and he has his reasons. Who doesn't just jump down on a lightning bolt and solve every little thing that comes up. Who lets us work through and live some of the questions. Who's a little more, maybe slow than we would like, but he has his reasons. And so, as we begin to rejoice in the presence of the Lord, and come to that serene, confident, stable joy, we then rely on the power of God. But the power of God is not just, he gives me whatever I want, when I want it, and the way I want it. That is not what we mean by the power of God. The power of God means that he is going to make a way for you. Sometimes in paradoxical and strange ways, some of his greatest gifts come in strange packages. He can make a way out of no way. He can do anything but fail. But he will do it in his way and in his time, and I start to say, I'm okay with that. And that brings you a lot more mental health. Amen? So step one, rejoice in the presence of the Lord. Step two, rely on the power of the Lord. Step three, remember the provision of the Lord. The text says, don't be anxious, but in everything by prayer and petition, present your request to God with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. You know, thanksgiving, giving thanks, being thankful, is a very important attitude to cultivate for mental health. Oh, Lord, you've been so good to me. Lord, you know, I want to say to you, my folks, my people here, listen, God's been good to me. God has been good to me. My life has not been without its difficulties and travails any more than yours. The Lord says, in this world, you will have tribulation. But you know what? He's been so good to me. And he's even allowed those tribulations and travails to open up new doors and to make me stronger. Oh, God's been so good to me. Now, you've heard me say this a lot, but I got to keep repeating it because it takes a while for some of us to get it through our thick skulls. Every day, 10 trillion things go right for you, and maybe a few things go wrong. I am not exaggerating when I say 10 trillion. You go to every atom that makes up your body, that makes up then every molecule, that makes up every cell, and every function of your body, all the endocrine system, the muscular system, all the digestive system, the skeletal structure, everything there doing what it needs to do from moment to moment at every single level of your body. And I know that you got a few things wrong and I got a few things wrong, but do you know how many things are going right in your body from moment to moment? And then go outside your body to the ecosystem. You got photosynthesis going on. We got an April day here in December, huh? We got photosynthesis going on. We've got the Van Allen belts up there in the stratosphere with their magnetic forces keeping the harmful rays of the sun from cooking us like a microwave. We've got the asteroid belt out there holding those babies at bay. We've got Jupiter and Saturn out there catching comets. Church, I'm just getting started, but I'll just end there. Look, every day, 10 trillion things go right. And I am not exaggerating. And then a few things go wrong. We're like, right? Listen. Cultivate. The Bible says in Colossians 3, dedicate yourself to thankfulness. Why? It's a discipline of the mind that recounts our blessings every day. And what does that do for us? Well, it makes us men and women of hope. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. That is not a slogan. That is a proper conclusion for a person to say, look how he's blessing me. Every moment, from moment to moment. And we cultivate an attitude of thanksgiving, and that gives us confidence. It gives us hope, and it keeps our eyes focused on what's good in our life rather than on what's negative. And you know, what you feed will grow. If you only focus on the negative, that'll grow. If you focus on the positive, that'll grow. What are you feeding? What are you feeding all day long, see? So again, we're told to bring all these prayers and petitions, but it says above all to have thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Now, it says here, remember. I'm saying remember the provisions of the Lord. This idea of thanksgiving, the word for Mass is also Eucharist, which is a Greek word. It means to give thanks. Isn't it astonishing that knowing he was about to go out and suffer and die within a few hours, the Lord is there at the Last Supper giving thanks? It says he took the bread, he blessed it, broke it, gave thanks, and handed it to his apostles. He gave thanks. And what does he say in every Mass? Remember, do this in memory of me. Now, I know you've heard me on this before, but something should be repeated. What does it mean to remember? To remember means to have so present to my mind and heart what God has done for me that I am grateful and different. Grateful people are different people. Grateful people are more generous, they are more hopeful, they are more confident, they are more serene, they are more all those good things. Grateful people are different. And the Lord always says to us at every Mass, remember, remember. All throughout the Old Testament, the refrain went up from God, Shatakta, you forgot, Shatakta, you forgot. Well, I didn't forget, I can say the whole creed from memory. No, it's not the memory he's talking about. He's saying you let it be so deep in your heart and your mind what God has done for you that you're changed by that gratitude. You're grateful and you're different because you know that you know that you know what he's done for you. He's made a way out of no way. He has blessed you in very unexpected ways, in hidden ways, in strange ways, but he has blessed you. Get to know that and you're going to get good mental health, you see? So again, we've been through three of the five steps. To better mental health. Step one, rejoice in the presence of the Lord. And that will bring to you a serene, confident joy. and a moderation. Step one, rejoice in the presence of the Lord. Step two, rely on the power of the Lord. Let him go to work in your life in his way. Step three, remember the provision of the Lord. And step four, if we will do this, we come to step four, that we can rest in the peace of the Lord. The text says, and if you do all these things, the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, this word guard can also be translated from the Greek keep. And I think that's the better translation for us here. The peace of God that transcends all understanding will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So it kind of works like this. It's a beautiful cycle. You meditate, you ask for the gift, and you cultivate the gift of the presence of the Lord in your life. You know he's there. You're not forgetful of him. You encounter him all day long, and you, because of that, there comes a peace and a serenity and a moderation. And then that, as you become more peaceful and serene and confident, you see the Lord more than you ever saw him before, and that increases your peace and keeps it and preserves it. Are you praying with me? It's a beautiful cycle here where the Lord is just deepening his presence and therefore that serene, confident peace and joy in our life. Now, I want to just say to you, I'm going to be a witness here that there was a time in my earlier life where I was anxious and doubled over and worried about everything. And much less so today, brethren, much less so. And again, it's all about the presence of the Lord being more clear to me from day to day, from moment to moment, each day. All right? So again, we've gone through four of the five steps. We rejoice in the presence of the Lord. We rely on the power of the Lord. We remember the provision of the Lord. And we rest in the peace of the Lord. Now, the final thing I want to say was not actually in our reading today. It's just the very next line after our reading cut off today. Step five would simply be to reflect on the plan of the Lord. Now, listen carefully to what the text says. Finally, brothers. Paul had a way of saying finally, too, but the letter goes on for several more pages. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. And whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, put that into practice. Step five for better mental health is a kind of a maintenance program. You know, having done those other steps, now what do we need to do? Listen. Be careful. There's a lot of stuff in our culture today. And, you know, Paul could only imagine the kind of massive influence that outside cultural things could have on individuals today through television, music, the radio, through all of these just instant things that just hit us all day long. And so many of those things are not what Paul says. They are not noble or beautiful or true or pure or lovely or admirable. Many of the things in our culture today, in the entertainment industry, in music, even in the news, are violent. They're about violence. They're about greed. They're about lust. They're about coveting. They are about stirring up all kinds of anxieties. You know, marketers know how we're made. They hire psychologists. They know how we're made. They know that the main way to sell product is to incite fear. You're not pretty enough. You're not tall enough. You're not short enough. Your hair is wrong. You don't drive the right car. You're pathetic. And they stir up a fear in us to get us to buy product. And the same with the news. If it bleeds, it leads. And so you get a very tilted notion of what's going on in the world today. And again, fear, fear, fear. You better tune in and not miss a word of what we're telling you on this news program, because your whole life might be threatened if you don't know all the things that are going on in all these different levels in our culture. Just tune in. Don't even tune in at 11. Just keep it on all day long. See? Now again, this is not, I'm not saying it's all bad and we need to keep up with the news, but a steady diet of what is so common in our media culture, a steady diet of things that are not necessarily noble or true or beautiful or lovely or praiseworthy or excellent, a steady diet of all that negativity leads us to become very fearful and negative in a minute. Again, whatever you feed grows. Where do you go to find life? To find these things that Paul says that we should think on. Whatever is admirable, lovely, pure, excellent, praiseworthy, right, and noble. Where do you go? Now again, I don't want to say that the entire entertainment industry is all bad. I didn't say that. There are good movies that give good themes and make us think and pray. There are good things to know about. There are needs in the world that the news can tell us about. The question for you and me, though, is what really are you feeding in your life? Is it those things that are good, true, and beautiful? Or is it too much of a steady diet of horrifying, negative, greedy, lustful, angry, violent entertainment and things? What's going on, you see? What you feed grows. What you feed will grow. So again, and then St. Paul says, finally he says this too, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me, put it into practice. So he's already telling us then the main source of those things which are good, true, admirable, decent, good, true, and beautiful is God's word. You see, our minds are like a sponge. Now, if you put your mind in muddy water, don't kid yourself, it's coming out muddy. How do you clean a muddy sponge? You plunge it into clean water and you wring it out, back into the clean water and you wring it out, and back into the clean water and you wring it out. And that's how you clean a sponge. That's also how you clean your mind. The word of God is that pure water. Every day, spend that time meditating, cultivating the presence of God in your life. Mental health begins to improve when we do these five things. Again, to rejoice in the presence of the Lord, to rely on the power of the Lord, to remember the provision of the Lord, to rest in the peace of the Lord, and to reflect on the plan of the Lord for your life. Five steps to better mental health. And it all starts with that word, which is really the result of these five steps. Joy. Joy. God's great joy. Joy, joy. Down in my soul. Down in deep soul-saving joy. Not just this chortle, I just heard a joke joy, but that deep, serene, confident joy. Down in my soul. Amen.